Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Kevin. So Kevin, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. Thank you for having me. I'm Kevin McCarthy, based out of Atlanta, Georgia. I'm primarily involved in the retail flower industry. I'm a fourth generation florist, and we have locations now in 10 states with over 25 locations and growing. It's kind of a roll-up strategy, but family-owned and operated since 1952. And I also do some investing and other things on the side for a little bit of fun when I'm bored.
Awesome. So can you just talk more about being a florist? I think that, you know, you're probably like the first florist that we've interviewed. So what does that actually look like? I think that, you know, many people like have this idea of what a florist is. So what does a typical day of a florist look like, you know, like yourself?
It's a great question. You know, it's all over the place, truly, because there's so many different subsets of florists, to be honest with you. I can give you what my typical day is like, but it might not be what everyone else is. And I'll be honest when I say that I am not a designer. Okay. I leave that to much more talented and creative people in my organization than myself. But basically, you know, for us, we handle all kinds of orders like most traditional florists do. So that would be everything from birthday and anniversary occasions to sympathies, weddings, special events, and everything in between. Basically, from birth till death, every special important moment in your life that flowers might be needed for, we're there for. There are some florists that are, you know, event only, focus more heavily on that. We just basically do it all. And we do it with a great talented team of people. So for us, it's getting up and going, prepping for the next thing, whether it's an event or, you know, however many deliveries there are that day or pickups. And we have a lot of last minute late customers, you know, who always are rushing in trying to get something because they forgot their birthday or anniversary for a significant other, which is always interesting.
Makes sense. So how do you compete, right? Because it's like a very competitive space. So how are you able to differentiate yourself from the next, you know, florist next door per se?
That's a great question. So, you know, the industry has changed so much. And in fact, the flower industry was one of the first e-commerce businesses to go online, okay, which is pretty interesting for an industry that's so tied to being outdated, right? And using dated technology and things like that. It's such a handcrafted, personalized business. So for us, we differentiate really primarily through the quality of products that we provide, the design and creativity through that, but most especially through, we don't call it service, the experience that we provide for our customers, okay? So we've kind of killed the word service. We say it's the customer experience that we provide every time. And we want it to be the best experience that they've had, not just in any florist shop, but at any place that they've been to. Okay. So, I mean, they're coming in, we should be the experts, and we try to do that. So that differentiation helps us compete on those factors, but really we don't see our competition as the florist down the road or next door. It's an industry that's changed so rapidly that the brick and mortar florist has gone from 30 some thousand in the mid 90s to now some counts as little as 11 or 10,000 today. So there's been tremendous consolidation, but people are still buying flowers. They're just buying them more from grocery stores, online, D2C players, order gatherers online who don't even touch the arrangements themselves. So it's all these different methods. So for us, being local, community-driven, personalized service, those are all the things that we try to do. Plus, unlike a lot of other competitors, we offer same-day delivery 7 days a week in all of our stores. So people can call us and we've got them covered.
So in terms of competing, I mean, that's a good point, right? So you have a lot of these D2C, if you search on Google for flowers near me, to your point, you're competing with grocery stores or people who are third-party vendors. So how do you compete? Obviously, you've been in business since the 50s, you know, but it's like, how do you compete in terms of getting new customers or staying competitive, whether it's, you know, Google or social media? Like, are you all running ads? Like, what does that look like for you?
That's a great question. So yes, we run ads on Google. I mean, that's still a big source of driving growth. And for us, it is tough because you've got a lot of players who have a lot of money. They'll spend $30, $40 for customer acquisition costs on Google. That's not something that we think is necessarily smart in our business model, being family owned and operated and trying to, you know, operate long term on a profit. So we do that. We do work on Google ads. We try to be very selective about them. We don't go crazy. We work tremendously on our reputation, on our involvement in the community, especially in which we serve. However, we also market through social media, through giveaways. families through some charitable donations that we do, sometimes even doing special arrangements for local or nationwide charities that we donate percentages of to those organizations. We think we're doing some good with that, with the organization and with communities or organizations that are doing some good. That also brings us some publicity, you know, just, you know, by happenstance, by being a part of that and involving ourselves with whatever that charity may be or charitable cause. But truthfully, still to this day, the best form of marketing we have and advertising is word of mouth referral. And we get that, even though we've digitized it now as much as we can, we try to engage with customers, you know, through email, which is still our top performing, you know, in terms of, you know, marketing ROAS. I would say email is still our top performing asset. We, you know, we do texts, but at the end of the day, if we've given someone an unbelievable experience and they tell someone about it, that's how we get another customer for life. And that's what we try to do.
Awesome. So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you face in the business today?
That's a great question. Quite frankly, there's a number of challenges that we have. Obviously, the consolidation in the industry has been, you know, tremendous. And the way people are buying and who they're buying from has changed a lot. So we keep an eye on that. But luckily, we think, again, between our quality and service and our selection, we can differentiate from that. One of the biggest challenges that the industry is facing as a whole is the race to the bottom, right? Which is the lowest price you can possibly get on flowers and, you know, and how you can possibly get there and what to do and shave off the street. So we have arrangements. We have things that we sell from $9.95 to $1,000 plus, right? For things that we could do in a single day for an arrangement. And we've done on many occasions. The problem with the race to the bottom is that a lot of people cut out the designer that's in the, you know, in the United States for it. Okay. So this kind of all involves the labor crisis that we're kind of facing. Designing flowers by hand in America is in some ways becoming a little bit of a lost art. So there's not nearly as many designers as there were, especially talented ones. So when it's the race to the bottom, everyone's trying to say, well, let's just throw some roses together and, you know, put a rubber band around them. We'll ship them from, you know, some farm and then we can sell them, you know, in store. The problem for us is that just isn't our model. We try to do things different. We have a lot of special requests that come up, how people want to, you know, see their flowers. So for us, it's the people, it's the business of this creative design that, again, I don't have the hands or capabilities of coming up with, that someone says, I have this vision in my head. How do you make this a reality? And having someone who's talented enough to take that and run with it. So there is a huge dearth of talented designers in the industry. And for that reason, it's causing this kind of race to the bottom of simplicity of designs that are not as complex. And there's fewer and fewer people who are able to do those things and meet the full needs of the customers. So for us, we're trying to develop internal training programs, work on how we can create more and more designers for the next generation so that it doesn't become a lost art.
So in terms of design, obviously there's, you know, I'm sure a difference if someone's selling flowers for $9.95, as you said, there's very minimal design involved. So for that, you know, do you even need designers? Like at what threshold do you say, like, I need to have designers, you know, if it's customized or not customized, like where do designers actually come into play in the business?
That's a great question. So for us, really, one of the big things is, yeah, on those lower end price points, usually if there's by default, if there's less stems and less complex, you know, designs, it's easy enough. If everything's at the same height, you know, it's easy enough for someone to come in and make something work and make it look okay. The bigger and more complex a piece is, just by happenstance and by nature of complexity, and the more insertions of flowers that you're going to have in there, more the more different types, how they need to flow together. Is it going to be delivered and still look like this after it goes into a delivery vehicle? All that kind of stuff that factors into place. What is going to make it look right? It's not a certain threshold necessarily of price, but I would say it starts usually around that $35 price point and up if I had to give a number to it. So usually it's around that, but it depends on the complexity of offerings and how many different types of flowers are part of it. I could put together a dozen roses pretty easily, which is still one of our most popular choices. And that doesn't require as much complex design. But if someone said, now take this and make it, you know, elevated and add 10 different other types of flowers in there and make it a modern looking, you know, piece, I would have a little bit of trouble with that.
Makes sense. So what is the goal for the business? Obviously, we're approaching the end of this year, but, you know, in terms of next year, like scalability, are you guys looking to open more locations? Like, how do you really grow in terms of revenue in this company right now?
That's a great question. So there's really two ways. One is through our, you know, same store sales, which is really important to us to always continue growing that. We believe that, you know, flowers are still a great gift for people. And it's a wonderful way of sending, you know, feelings through the art of flowers, right? Feelings that words alone might not be able to express, that you're thinking of someone, you love someone, you care about someone, and getting that message out there again. And we believe we share that enthusiasm with a lot of other great and talented florists out there. So it's organic sales that we really focus on. And our message for that is that we deliver love. Like that's our motto. That's our mission. Now, how we do that, whether it's through the art of flowers, whether it's through an ancillary gift that we provide or something that goes in parity with that, is always the question. So the one is the organic growth. So that has to do a lot with our techniques in the store, what we sell, how we sell it, our SKU mix, creating and bringing in new designs and new and unique products for our customers and letting them know, marketing to the existing customer base in those areas. But also separately, it's opening some strategic locations in different areas. But probably more pertinently, it's acquiring existing legacy brands that don't have an exit strategy in the industry, or that want to entrust their legacy to a company that has some stability, who's been able to go on a geographic scale that we have, and roll up the industry to an extent, right? No one's successfully rolled up the brick and mortar retail flower industry. And it's tough. It's a very tough thing to do. So what we do is we go in and look for the top brands in an area, or we might hear about them, and they have to meet certain criteria for us. But most of our brands that we've bought through acquisition have been around for 70 plus years on average, which is pretty incredible. So they're community cornerstones. So that's really our most prominent source of trying to grow and develop the company and expand as we continue to acquire what I would call legacy flower shop brands. And we continue with their name, with their customer base, with their people. It's just that they become part of our family of stores.
Makes sense. So in terms of acquisitions, like what else are you looking at? I mean, obviously there's revenue that comes into place, it being in business for 70 plus years. But like if there's, you know, like one shop has a location, and I'm going to use Dallas like as an example, which is sure. Where I live. Like what is like a certain revenue number, a certain margin? It's just, you know, if you can give me like, let's take an approximate number, where, okay, this is going to make sense to even consider this for an acquisition.
Absolutely. So, well, I'll be honest that the number has certainly gone up in the past couple of years because the cost of operating business has gone up. So if it's in a new area such as Dallas that we don't currently operate, we would look from our business model at least $2 million a year in top line sales to be able to make that a viable model that we think we can take, grow, run with enough room to, you know, build the staff and make sure that legacy is in place for a long time. If a store, and stores range from a few hundred thousand a year in this industry to sometimes 10 million plus, it's all across the board, right? So you know, I talk and consult to a number of shops, but on that lower side, if we're not closer, you know, to them, you know, in terms of our proximity from another location, it usually doesn't make sense unless it's a couple million in top line. We really do try to look at the reputation of the store too, see if it's been around for a long time. Maybe if it hasn't, what is the reputation, you know, in the area, in the industry? Is the area itself expanding? Is it shrinking? Is it, you know, an area that we think is prime for more growth? Is it saturated the market with a lot of really good florists? If we don't think that we can come in there and add value for the community, for the customer, and for the team that's there, and continue that legacy that's been there for a long time, we will tell, you know, an acquisition, you know, target that, or we'll tell someone who comes and says, you know, I don't know what to do with my shop, you know, help me out, that we just might not be the best buyer to do that. And they really need a boots on the ground operator.
Makes sense. So in terms of, you know, e-commerce, with, you know, which you mentioned earlier, it's like, what does that look like? I mean, is it a lot of, like you mentioned, I'm running ads from your website, or is there a lot of, I think, you know, people might be using like DoorDash or Uber Eats to buy flowers. Yeah. Like, what does that look like, you know, for the most part in terms of breakdown for the business when it comes to e-commerce?
That's a great question. So we were pretty late to the game technologically, right? And a lot of great companies that are out there that people synonymize now with flowers, like 1-800-Flowers, were some of the first to go online, you know, during the late 90s and get the name out there and brand and market well and be at the forefront of technology. We were late to the game. My parents were, you know, kind kind of intentionally like staying away from computers. They hand wrote orders into the early 2000s, you know, it was kind of like that. So we've really tried to shift, but now as that paradigm has shifted over the past, you know, 20 plus years, especially within our company, we do put a big focus on online, but still the slight majority of our orders are coming from phone and walk-in out of everything. So, which is kind of hard to believe in today's day and age, but we have a lot of walk-in, a lot of phone calls. People still like to do that and have that, but we're still trying to grow that e-commerce portion as much as we can. And if you break down the e-commerce side of the business, I think, again, it's changed now with places like DoorDash and Uber Eats and others getting into that vertical. We were one of the first to actually try DoorDash and be one of their first adopters on that platform. And we weren't sure what to expect, but I got to be honest, it was a great experience for us. And it continues to be. So we still sell on there. It's a completely different channel. And we believe that it doesn't intersect with the same market segments that we're typically targeting online. So, which is kind of interesting. So we're kind of appearing to a different audience of people who, you know, maybe in a different demographic, who maybe have a different age bracket, et cetera, who are using DoorDash on a regular basis, placing orders and getting our name out there while providing a great service. So for us, it's still a very small fraction of our overall orders, but we've been very successful in growing it through those other third-party local delivery channels.
Does it concern you when you have like third-party drivers, you know, because it's like, how do you make sure that the flowers are in good shape when they arrive to your customer?
You know, that is a great question. And we have had a few issues that have happened, you know, over the years. It's just the more volume you have, the inevitability that something is going to happen. And it's happened with us too. There's car accidents, there's things that do happen, but we do work really hard. And obviously, since it's such a special occasion, you want to make sure that these flowers that someone just, you know, kill themselves to make beautiful turn out beautiful when it reaches the recipient. But we have had that issue happen a few times, but honestly, it's been far and few between. That being said, we do try to avoid having very complex arrangements or ones that are, you know, enormous that might be more prone to problems or delivery or things like that, that we sell through those channels that are better suited for more of our own delivery through our own vehicles and through our expert drivers, because otherwise we could run into issues. But at the same time, most of the time we don't. We've also used Roadie for extended delivery in some areas. We've now roadied out orders sometimes where customers so loyal to us and our business, and they've moved, but they're not in our delivery radius anymore. They're 60, 70, 80 miles away sometimes. We will send an order, you know, that far out. And most of the time they do a great job with the delivery. So luckily, awesome. I was very worried about it. It didn't turn out to be as bad as I thought.
So what is the role of, you know, obviously, like you mentioned, technology, e-commerce, but AI is big now as we're wrapping up 2023. So what is the role of AI when it comes to either your business or even just the floral industry in general?
I think that's a great question. So AI obviously is like the huge buzzword right now. And I was just talking to someone in a data analytics company yesterday about this as well. It is so fascinating because I think it is going to revolutionize so many industries. And I think some more quickly than others, and others more apparently than other industries. So for us, I think we already use it right now to help us generate name ideas, new ideas for products, new ideas for you know, our product content in terms of what we're doing, blog concepts, things of that nature, just as ancillary help to what we're doing. I actually started toying with it with one of my web team members to say, can we use it to analyze our web traffic and make suggestions for us based on other, you know, factors, you know, that we're trying to do and improve things, or our search engine marketing? Can we use it to refocus how we're spending our money and allocating it towards the best return on ad spend? And so it gave some answers. Whether or not those turn out to be true based on the data we have, we'll find out after some testing. But I think it'll continue to grow and help out with that. I think conversational AI is going to be a part that comes into our industry a lot. Once you know, layer on understanding of flowers and plants and the needs of customers, we already have a lot of companies that are reaching out to us about live chat and putting in different conversational AI and signals to where it knows what to direct a customer to based on the occasion, what they're looking for, et cetera. And for us, we think once you get into the photographic side and identifying flowers, I think that's going to completely change the game as well. Once you can start identifying individual flowers that are in an arrangement, it's really going to be fascinating. So for us right now, it's been a fun tool to play around with. We use it for creative ideas, some, you know, some data driven decision-making when we're trying to compile large amounts of data. And I think it'll only get better about that. But I think on the customer side, we'll probably have time times in the near future, whether it's our company or another out there, where, you know, someone's conversing with, you know, an AI bot that's online and they don't know, and they're doing a great job helping them sell flowers. Now, we're always going to have, you know, humans in our business. We're a highly personal, highly connected business, and it's one that requires a tremendous amount of creative talent and work. So luckily, we'll always have that. I think there's some other industries that might have challenges that are not in the physical product business that might have more challenges. So we're lucky to be in an industry that we have those elements that are still going to need, you know, people. But I see AI as revolutionizing pretty much every industry we can think of. The question is how fast and how much. But for now, for this year, we're going to continue using it, trying to do more data analysis with it, see if it can help us make some better data-driven decisions to show our customers what they want based on the data that we have.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, AI chatbots are a big thing. But if you think, you know, I mean, AI for even your potential customers coming up with ideas, like, you know, saying, right. Like they're typing into the AI saying, I want this. And the AI would say, okay, what if we had this design or that design? Like, yes. You know, that would be like a really cool tool. They could kind of like them design their own arrangements with the help of AI.
Absolutely. And I think the possibilities like that are truly limitless. So it's going to be coming soon. And we're excited to be a part of it and that we can be a part of that wave and just test it out and test the waters a little bit and see what happens. But so many people want these unique, you know, AI, you know, I think so many people want so many unique products that our business would particularly benefit from having AI being a conversation point in their, you know, in their journey, in the customer journey, because I think it would help them identify and at least narrow down some of their choices and help them come up with different ideas that they might not have considered in a way that's faster than any human, you know, could possibly permutate in their mind, right? Or accommodating exactly. With these different designs and options based on what's in stock, what's available, what's in season, and based on the criteria set that's there. We also use it for persona building and things like that to try to identify different customers and their personas and even some training. So we think we see it as a good training tool to work with people as well and script and try to see how we can address things better going forward. But it's going to be very interesting to see how it goes.
Makes sense. So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for the business?
That's a great question. So I will be truthful in that I say I think there is some macroeconomic weakness that makes me a little nervous right now. I think consumer debt is high, inflation is high. And so for that reason, we're being a little conservative in terms of our expansion plans and not as aggressive as we might have been a couple of years ago. But I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of opportunities that come up for those who aren't ready to weather that, you know, storm. So our hope is that we can continue to provide a great service to our customers and clients, even if that slows down a little bit. You know, COVID was ironically a big boon for the flower industry. So we've actually noticed some unit softness and decline over the past few years because flowers are a great way when you can't be there in person to express your love for someone else. And so, you know, we were lucky to be in an industry that was like that during COVID, even though we had to deal with a myriad of restrictions. And so I think a year from now, hopefully we'll have expanded into new markets in additional stores, grown our team even further, and hopefully we're using technology in a much more advanced way, possibly AI, to make better data-driven decisions, possibly even on our next acquisition or strategic move. But for us, we see some more growth, we see more opportunities in more markets and more states, and hopefully continuing to, you know, deliver on our promise of delivering love to our customers through the art of, you know, flower design.
Awesome. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or just best way to get in contact with you?
Sure, absolutely. So the best website, since we have all these local brands that we honor the legacy of, and they have all different names, the best website is our parent brand name, which is familyflowers.com. And that's the best way to get in touch with us, see all our locations in different areas, and see what we're up to.
Awesome. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for your time today. It was a pleasure, and we're rooting for you guys.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Thanks. All right. Bye.
Thanks.